3. My name is David Paulson. I'm a member of the Society for American Baseball Research. I'm in Washington, D.C., in the home of Carolyn Thomas, the daughter of Walter Johnson. With us is her son, Hank Thomas. We will be sending a copy of this tape to the Hall of Fame, but Sabre reserves the right to distribute the tape or transcription of the interview to other researchers and put it on the Internet. Is that okay with you?
I would not like my address divulged.
We're not going to mention your address. Washington, D.C. is okay. Is that fair enough? I mean, I mentioned Washington, D.C. That's all. No, we're not mentioning any addresses. Okay. You recently had a birthday, right?
Yes. Last Friday, January 31, I was 80.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. The reason which gave me the idea for the interview was I saw a letter to the editor in Sports Illustrated. Remember that?
Yes.
Did you want to just read it to us there? It's right there.
My son is embarrassed about this.
He said, "Gee, we all thought it was cute, really."
Well, they edited it somewhat. How could you have omitted Henry W. Thomas's Walter Johnson Baseball's Big Train? I take it personally. It is the definitive biography of my father, superbly researched and written by my son.
Thank you. Anyway, Walter Johnson personally has been a hero of mine. I grew up in Washington, and of course, when I grew up in the late 30s and 40s, the team was always second division, but of course it was our team. We rooted for it, and even into the 50s. So anyway, I've always been a Washington Senator fan, and I thought this was a great opportunity to get some insight on one of the great heroes of Washington baseball. Were you born in Washington?
No, I was born in Reno, Nevada. My mother was the daughter of Congressman Edwin Roberts, who was mayor of Reno and a lawyer, college professor, and congressman from Nevada. I happened to be born in Reno. I think I left there when I was 3 weeks old.
Was Walter and your mom just visiting out there?
During the winter. I was born in January.
Off season.
So Dad hunted with Grandfather Roberts out in Nevada. He had a beautiful ranch out there.
And he hunted with some of the ball players too, didn't he, in the off season?
Yes, I think he did. Yes.
So you came back to Washington. Was actually living in Washington proper?
Bethesda. My earliest memories are our home in Bethesda. I know that we lived in the district. We have pictures of a house on Irving Street. We lived at the Chastleton Hotel for a while, my main memories are of Bethesda, right. 9100 Old Georgetown Road.
Now, that's the house that's been in the paper last year, so
yes.
they were trying to sell it or
it's
buy it.
It's been on and off the market, and it's been extensively remodeled and so on. It's off the market at the moment.
And they really want a large sum for it, too.
Yes, they invested a great deal in remodeling, as I recall, but the house is practically sitting in the middle of Georgetown Road. It's a very strange arrangement.
It would be great if that could be made into a museum or something.
You know. I don't know. It's a historic. It's been designated historic, but there used to be almost 9 acres with it. Now there was very, very little land, and of course the street is right there. So it's an odd choice for anyone looking for a home.
Right. How many brothers or sisters?
Yes, I have one brother still. I had three brothers and one sister, but my sister died a couple of years ago. Brother Ed is still with us, and he will be 86 in September.
Is he the oldest one?
No, Walter Jr., but he died early. He was 46 when he died of Hodgkin's disease.
Right. Okay. Growing up in school, did you play sport? Were you interested in sports?
Yes, we all. If you have three brothers, you're going to play a lot of ball, and so on. We all did. Yes.
Were you on any school teams?
Not really. When I was in high school, we were living in Germantown. There wasn't much time to stay after school. We got on a bus and went home. So I was on a softball team, as I recall. But that's about all.
Okay.
My brothers were all athletically inclined, and basketball and baseball.
What is your earliest recollections of your dad in baseball?
Well, we spent a tremendous amount of time at the ballpark. Mother, I think, took us a great deal. I remember riding with her to and from the ballpark, and Dad, too. After Mother died, Dad took us with him wherever he went, whenever he could. And So we spent a lot of time. I remember the ball players so well, and I couldn't possibly have told you about Buddy Meyer and Sam West and Heinie Manouche and so on if I hadn't been there.
Great. So you spent a lot of time at Griffith Stadium.
A lot of time at Griffith Stadium. And recently a friend of Hank's came up with a picture of my sister and me at the ballpark with Dad. I'm standing in the dugout. My sister's just outside. And I told a friend that Dad took us with him wherever he could. And I said, you don't see many little girls in major league dugouts. This is sort of proof positive that when Dad could, he tried desperately to make up for Mother's loss. I think especially with the girls, with my sister being. Okay.
Now, was he still playing at that time when you, when he's taking you to the ballpark? Was he still a player?
No, couldn't have been.
He was retired. Managing.
I was born in 23, and 23. He retired in 27. So.
Okay, so probably when he was managing then?
Yes.
He managed
yes.
4 years.
Yes, and also when he... when he managed in Cleveland, he took us with him. We spent the summer there with him, stayed at the Cleveland Hotel, and spent, again, a great deal of time at the ballpark.
Right. Now, you being in the dugout and meeting the players and being on the field there, any special players that you were fond of?
I liked all of them. I thought they were the most genial people. I look back now, and I remember their faces and how kind they were. Of course, everybody liked Dad. He was a very likable person, and they would... I'm sure they were very sympathetic about his loss of Mother, so they would have been kind to us anyway, but they just all seemed like awfully nice people, and I enjoyed being there, and I recall Mother and Dad did not do a great deal of entertaining, but I remember ball players being at the home in Bethesda, but mainly at the ballpark.
Any unusual experiences you encountered yourself at the ballpark? Any stories there?
Well, I was there, for example, when Bill Dickey broke Carl Reynolds' jaw at home plate. I thought that was an amazing display of poor sportsmanship.
What was the background on
that? Reynolds apparently had hit a homer, or scored in any case, and Dickey was catching and resented it and swung on him just as he crossed the plate. And I thought, my goodness, that's amazing. I'll never forget it.
Guess he was thrown out.
Yeah, most unusual. You just didn't see that kind of
altercation. Was it a close game or something? Or
but I also used to spend a lot of time in the office at Griffith Stadium. When when Mildred, Clark Griffith's foster daughter, was working there, I remember very clearly when she and Joe Cronin were flirting with each other when they first met. And Joe would come in with his lantern jaw and lean on the counter, and Mildred was the clerk typist there. I remember that. I liked Mildred.
Was Joe the manager at that time?
Pardon?
Was he the manager at that
time?
No,
I don't think so. He had recently been acquired by the team. I think they had just met. I think he'd just joined Washington.
Yeah, he managed in 33.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. We used to spend a lot of time at the ballpark, as I say.
And then Clark Griffith, what were your impressions of Mr. Griffith?
Oh, he was wonderful. He was so kind to all of us. And he just really was very paternal. We spent a lot of time in his office. His little elevator. He was also very kind to Hank. When Hank was a little boy and I would have to go to the stadium for some occasion or other, Clark Griffith made a great point of being kind to my kids. They were very nice.
Did you ever have a chance to meet Connie Mack?
I don't recall that I did. My brother did. He remembers riding in a taxi with Connie Mack and Dad and somebody else. I can't remember who.
Well, Walter played for him.
Ed, it seems to me when we talked to Ed, he said he remembered a trip with Connie Mack.
Right. How about Bucky Harris?
Oh, yes. I knew him well, and I saw him last at a cocktail party in Chevy Chase some years back. And it was very nice to see him again. He told me at that time how depressed he'd been when he heard the radio announcement of my youngest brother's death. He said they did not initially say which one of Walter's children it was, but you see, he offered condolences on that. He was a very, very nice person.
And his father, his son is a judge, or a judge, I believe.
As a matter of fact, I sent Judge Harris some film that we had acquired, and he didn't have any. He said his father did not leave memorabilia. I had suggested if he had any, we'd like to have it copied or whatever, any film especially. It was difficult to find film of Dad pitching, and I used to buy up any I could find, so we have a little, and I shared that with Judge Harris.
Commissioner Landis, did you ever meet him?
No, don't remember meeting him. Might have, but...
How about Ty Cobb?
Yes, the last time I saw him, I'm sure I had met him before because he was a good friend of Dad's, but the last time I saw him was when night baseball came to Griffith Stadium. Dad was to throw the ball that was to break the beam that would turn on the lights, and Ty Cobb was sitting right behind us, and he looked like the prosperous businessman that he was. I've heard many times how rough and tough he was, but Dad liked him, he liked Dad, and that night he was courtly, just as pleasant as he could be.
Yeah, you know, I read in Hank's book, that they were friends.
Uh-huh,
and you would think that supposedly the two different dispositions were so opposite.
But Dad was not judgmental. He had one of his best friends was who went fox hunting with him and so on, was a kind of hard-drinking guy. Dad did not sit in judgment on anybody. He really was very good about it. He was a very nice guy himself, but he wasn't pious and did not sit around criticizing other people.
I was wondering, your dad managed the Senators for 4 years, and then he went to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was looking up his record of the Senators was excellent. They finished fifth the first year, and then he finished second and third and third, which was tremendous for Washington.
My brother says Dad was a good manager.
Yeah, was there any special reason why he stopped managing the Senators and went to Cleveland? Do you know?
I don't know, other than I guess that... I guess Cronin took over when Dad went to Cleveland, and I think that he being Griffith's son-in-law may have something to do with it.
Maybe.
And Dad was amenable. I mean, you know, he would have agreed with anything Clark Griffith wanted. Mm-hmm. Great respect for him.
What are your impressions or remembrances about Cleveland and the ballpark there?
One of my memories was the secretary of the club, Ada Ireland, kept an eye on my sister and me. She was very pleasant. Tom, come get the dog.
It's okay.
Oh, it's okay.
It's all right.
And I remember that at the stadium, Mo Berg kept an eye on us.
Oh, Mo Berg, yeah.
And shepherded my sister and me away from the foul balls and so on.
The catcher was a spy.
The catcher was a spy. And my sister, as a matter of fact, had an ashtray shaped like a catcher's mitt with Mo Berg's facsimile. You could put her out back if you want to. Autograph on it. But one of the interesting things that's mentioned in Tom's book was Babe Ruth calling to see my sister and me at the hotel. And he was laid up with a foot or leg injury of some sort. And he made an interesting little speech, which meant absolutely nothing to me at the time, to the effect that in the unlikely event that we read any bad news about Dad in the Cleveland newspapers, and they were very unkind about some things, we were not to pay a bit of attention to it, that our dad was a wonderful person, he was doing a splendid job, and so not to be distressed about it. Of course, we just stood there not having any idea what he was talking about. We were not reading the sports papers. We had dinner at Alva Bradley's home. He was the owner. He was also very pleasant and very supportive of Dad. Dad was a good manager. As an adult, I've read that he had many problems. There were factions among the players and a lot of lack of discipline there. But my brother Ed says he was a good manager, and the record shows it.
Now, while managing Cleveland, of course, he came back to Griffith Stadium to play the Senators.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of reception did he still get a friendly reception?
Well, I think Shirley Povich wrote that they treated Walter Johnson like Walter Johnson in Washington. After the stress of the criticisms most unfair in Cleveland, when Dad came to Washington, Shirley Povich wrote that they acknowledged that he was Walter Johnson. I treated him.
Now, you mentioned Babe Ruth. Were there several occasions you met Babe Ruth?
I'm sure of it. We were not, we were used to this. We were not impressed with fame and celebrity and so on. They were just my dad's business associates, as far as we were concerned. Yes, I'm sure I met him several times.
Right. Now, your dad, playing in Washington, was somewhat friendly with the presidents.
Yes.
Did you ever get a chance to go to the White House or perhaps meet one of the presidents?
I went to the White House with a friend of the family, and I remember sitting in the president's chair in the Oval Office.
When would that have been, approximately? Or what president?
Frankly, Franklin Roosevelt. I went, as a matter of fact, I saw his first inauguration from a corner suite at the Willard Hotel.
Good view.
And then with Tom Flaherty, was my godfather, And he was a very influential member of the Postal Workers Union or something of that sort. He had access to all sorts of things. So we, during the day, we watched the parade at the Willard, and then an inaugural ball at the Shoreham, as I recall. And one of my interesting experiences was going to the restroom or someplace that evening and suddenly being swept out of the way because the Secret Service was coming in with the president, and I ducked into a phone booth and peered out over the glass, and I thought later, it's a good thing I was a little girl who was just in the wrong place at the wrong time and not somebody with evil intentions.
Was President Roosevelt walking, or was he in the wheelchair?
Yeah, I think he was wheeled. I'm not sure. I'm not absolutely certain. I was, needless to say, kind of panicked. Tom, there's John.
Okay. Now, in 1939, Walter Johnson was one of the five original inductees in the Hall of Fame. Were you there for that ceremony there?
No. Dad went up by himself. I was, as a matter of fact, I was away at college in 1939. I was at Duke University.
The Blue Devils.
Uh-huh.
Right, okay. I'm sure he was thrilled and honored by that selection, probably.
I think he probably was. He didn't look well in the pictures we've got. He looked as though he was not well at the time, but he was there. And
of course, I guess Babe Ruth.
I'm sure he was, although nobody at that time, I think, realized what the Hall of Fame would become and what an honor it was, really.
Yeah. Did he get much of a play in the newspapers? Do you remember?
I think so. Okay. I think so. And since I've learned that, I've read that he and Ty Cobb and some of the others taking the train back from Cooperstown swapped old baseball stories and so on. Had a nice reunion.
Right. Okay. Now, Walter Johnson High School, I believe, was the first high school in the country named after a baseball player.
I believe so.
Were you there for the ceremony?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little about the ceremony?
The family was invited, and it was very pleasant. I saw some of my my teachers, my French teacher in high school. I went to Richard Montgomery High School, and my French teacher there was then a member of the Board of Education. She was there. It was very pleasant to see her again. But it's a wonderful school. It's a real honor. And when the Postal Service came out with a stamp honoring Dad 2 years ago, they asked if if I was pretty impressed with that, and I said yes. It ranks almost up there with a high school being named for Dad.
I was going to ask you that. Is it a pretty good likeness of him, the stamp?
Pretty good. Yes. We met the artist in Atlanta, and I complimented him. It's not the greatest. I don't know whether you've seen the stamp or not.
Oh yes, absolutely.
We have a copy of it in the den around the corner.
Right. We would. Saber were trying to push for him for some years.
Oh, I know. Bob
and,
David
yeah.
really was serious about it. And I'm so glad it finally
we got 20 out. Guys, which is great. You know, it's great.
Yes.
Some of those players. I hope there'll be more coming out too. And then the year after, they had ballparks. Except they left out Griffith Stadium.
Yes, they shouldn't have.
Right. Now, I guess you know, out in Bethesda now, they've got this college league. And they have out at Bogich Field,
uh-huh.
and they have the big train. Is the Bethesda team. I guess have you been out for any of the games there?
Yes, it's a wonderful little stadium. I was there when they opened it,
mm-hmm.
and I have great respect for the Bogich family. I adored Shirley Bogich and miss him still, and he will not be duplicated. He's just a wonderful person.
Now. After, I guess, Dad got out of baseball, he got interested in politics, right? Could you tell us a little about that?
He wasn't interested in politics. He was actually dragooned into running for Congress. And he stayed away from home. They practically camped on the doorstep. They made him feel obligated and that it was payback time and that sort of thing. He really did not want anything to do with it. I remember I was at Duke at the time, and one of my classmates said, you know, your dad's in a newsreel. Down at the theater about his running for Congress. So I went to see him. It's hard to find a bad picture of my dad. He had a nice, friendly face. Boy, that newsreel, he's scowling. He's tossing his hat in the ring, but he looked as though he'd just rather be shot. He really was not a politician, and I think they simply forced him into it.
He ran on the Republican Party?
Yes.
And
yes.
what was the office he was seeking?
Well, he won the primary and lost the general elected Congress.
Congress?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And then he served as a county commissioner for a number of years in Rockville. But he was not interested in politics. He campaigned for Alf Landon and Wendell Willkie. He was a Republican, conservative, but not all that conservative. And but he would have been an honest. Ty Cobb wrote an unsolicited letter in support of his campaign, and it was interesting. He said Walter Johnson will not be a chameleon. He will not change his views to suit the popular trends, and so on and so forth. What you see is what you get.
Okay. Now, I believe you had a lot of scrapbooks and
yes.
memorabilia.
Yes.
That helped Hank with his book.
Yes, I'll show you what he did. His son recently put them up for auction. We wrote him and asked him to return them because
wow.
we had 30 others uh-huh. and they really belonged to the family, and he refused to do it, so we had to buy them.
Right. Friday he was with the Times Herald, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's too bad. His son apparently has grave financial difficulties. And
this is really something. Mother, your articles there, and
actually, this one I think is the oldest. I think this has stuff dating back to 1915 or something. Mother and Dad were married in 1914, and she died in 1930. And she did the scrapbooks. I remember her very clearly. I was 7 when she died, but I remember her sitting at a desk in front of the French doors at Bethesda, mm-hmm. working on the scrapbooks. Mm-hmm. There are 30 some of them.
Yeah. Well, I know when Hank's book, that was really. I mean, it was a key probably to getting all the material.
Yes, yes. He got interested as a result of the scrapbooks, and they were the inspiration for his book and early research.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to say? I'm out of questions.
Well, I had a
experiences.
For Father's Day, they did a Major League Baseball did an interview about my father, the ball player, and they said, "What would you say about your father?" And I said, "Just that I think he refuted the cynical observation that nice guys finish last. He was a very nice guy and had a wonderful career, a great marriage, good family, and." He certainly did not finish last, in my opinion.
Right. Okay, well, Ms. Thomas, well, thank you very much.
You're a good interviewer. I don't
pleasure.
Know that I've been helpful in any sense, but if you think of anything else, why, feel free to call me. And
well, thank you very much.
My memory isn't absolutely superb. You want to see some pictures? We'll go around
yes,
the corner and I'll
to.
Show you some.